بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We start a new chapter today, باب تحريم لعن الإنسان بعينه أو دابته. The chapter on the prohibition of cursing a person or an animal. That do not curse a person, do not curse an animal. You get some people that they have this habit on them, or this habit that they have is that they curse all the time. Very easily words of curse come. So this is something that we have to be very careful of. Once these words of curse come on a person's tongue, and sometimes he doesn't realize, even curses his own children, own family members, own staff. Why? Because he's got these words of curse. And then he did it to such an extent that sometimes he curses himself also. So this is a very, very dangerous thing. And then Allah Pak forbid, it can happen so that a person even curses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Pak save us. So this training that comes, that training is very important. The person is very careful of what he says. A person who can control his tongue has achieved a lot. You see, it takes about 2 years for a person to learn a language. Any language, a person goes overseas country, say, for example, he goes to Saudi Arabia, and he stays there for about 2 years, he can learn the language of the people, he can speak, and he can get himself around if he's quite an intelligent person, or even an average person too. He's about 2 years is good enough. But it takes a lifetime to learn when not to speak, when not to say anything, when to hold back, and how to hold back. It takes a whole lifetime. So this also, that my person has to be very careful that the wrong words don't come out of my mouth, especially words of curses. I must be very, very careful. And other words, also words of kufr, etc. A person has to be extremely careful. If he learns to hold back and restrain himself, he has achieved a lot. And Abi Zayd ibn Thabit ibn Dhahhak al-Ansari radiyallahu anhu wa huwa min ahli bay'at al-Ridwan قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من حلف على يمين بملة غير الإسلام كاذبا متعمدا فهو كما قال ومن قتل نفسه بشيء عذب به يوم القيامة وليس على رجل نذر فيما لا يملكه ولعن المؤمن كقتله متفق عليه. حضرت أبو زيد ثابت بن الضحاك الأنصاري رضي الله عنه was one of those who were present during the Bay'at al-Ridwan. Bayatul Ridwan was on the occasion, it was the 6th year after Hijrah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba, they were coming from Madinatul Munawwara to perform Umrah in Makkatul Mukarrama. But that time the Kufar were still in the control of Makkatul Mukarrama. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba had camped outside Makkah at a place called Hudaybiyah. So when they had camped there, they got information that the Kufar did not want them to perform Umrah, that they did not want them to come into Makkah Sharif. So what they had done, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had sent his own son-in-law, Hazrat Uthman radiyallahu anhu, to take a message to the leaders of the Quraysh and tell them that we haven't come to fight them. We haven't come for any type of war, to harm them in any way, but we have actually come here just to make ziyarat of Baytullah, just to perform Umrah, and then we would leave. That's all they wanted. They had traveled from so far. And Sahaba were not like us. When we go, then we just do the Umrah, we try and do it quickly, and then we have to rush back to the hotel room. But they were such that their hearts were attached to Baytullah. They had a great, great love for the Baytullah. In one kitab it is mentioned so beautifully that they had been breastfed with the love of the Kaaba Sharif. So much of love they had for Kaaba Sharif. So you can imagine how desirous they were. They were right there, but they were prevented from coming into Makkatul Mukarramah. So it is a lengthy incident. So this, anyway, why I'm mentioning this incident, it happened in the 6th year after Hijrah. So when Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu was sent with the message, so now a wrong message, a rumor had come to the Muslims that Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu was assassinated. So on this occasion, the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alim ajma'in had taken bayat with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to avenge the death of Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu. This was Sahaba. They were not scared, they were not frightened. If it had to come that we were to give our lives for our brothers, we were ready for them. So they had taken a bayat, a pledge with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That pledge is known as bayat al-Ridwan. So here, this hadith is mentioning that the Sahabi Abu Zayd Thabit ibn Dhahhak al-Ansari radiallahu anhu was one of those who were present during the day when this bayat al-Ridwan was taking place, when it had taken place with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was their accolades. They didn't have accolades as far as how many buildings they own, how many properties they own, how many offshore investments. This was their accolade. I was present with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this occasion when we had taken a pledge that we will avenge the death of Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu. Allah Pak, give us that bravery and that spirit also. Not that they were just frightened for every small thing, but they had that zeal and that desire that they wanted to do something for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anyway, he is the narrator of this hadith. So he quotes from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that one who consciously takes a false oath, that he will adopt a religion other than Islam, it will be as he said. Now here it can be have one of two meanings, that a person takes an oath that if I do such an action, then I will become a Christian. Now if he means that, or I'll become a Hindu, or I'll become a Jew, whatever it may be, but a religion out of Islam, if he takes this type of oath and he really means it, then he will go out of Islam. He'll go out of the fold of Islam. Therefore, a person has to be very careful what he says. And there's a second type of thing. What it means is, a person is saying this, if I do such an action, then I will be a Jew, I will be a Christian. He's just saying it so that he doesn't do the action. So he's saying it to try and prevent himself from doing a certain action. So he takes this type of oath. Then too, it is a very serious guna. It is a very big sin to do that. Islam is such a pure deen. It doesn't allow for these type of things. That if I do such an action, then I become a Christian. If I do an action, I become a Jew. So Islam doesn't allow for that. But then also it will be a very big guna for him, for a person to say that. The next part of this hadith, one who kills himself with something will be punished with it on the day of Qiyamah. One who kills himself with something, he commits suicide. Whatever it may be, way he commits suicide, he pokes himself, he injures himself, he hits himself with something heavy. This person will be punished with that same instrument on the day of Qiyamah. And not only that, in Barzakh also, he will continuously be killing himself right up till the day of Qiyamah. It's like a person that jumps out of the pot and he jumps into the fire. He's only making things worse for himself. He's thinking, by committing suicide, all my problems will finish. He doesn't realize it only gets much, much worse. In fact, on this it comes, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, one who jumps from a mountain killing himself will forever be in the fire of Jahannam, jumping into it. Continuously he'll be jumping into the fire of Jahannam. This only in Akhirat. In Barzakh he'll have to continuously repeat that action. One who drank a small portion of poison killing himself, this poison will be in his hand and he will forever continue sipping from it in the fire of Jahannam. One who killed himself with a metal such as a knife or a spear, etc., this metal will remain in his hand and he will forever continue harming himself with this in the fire of Jahannam. See Bukhari Sharif riwayat. So a person thinks that he's getting away easy, getting away cheap, and just killing himself. He doesn't realize that only making things worse. A person should try and be happy with whatever Allah Pak has decided for us. There are two A's. If a person brings his two A's in his life, in any situation he will be able to get around it. The first A is accept. But whatever has happened to me, whatever is I am going through, this is the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first thing he does is accepts. And the second A is a person adapts. Whatever the condition may be, that Allah Pak has put me in this condition, let me adapt to this condition. So he brings that acceptance and he brings that ability to adapt. When he brings these two things, in any situation will become easy. The person now will just look at the positives. He will ignore the negatives. All the time he'll look at the positives. How much Allah has given me, he won't look at what he doesn't have, and he'll be happy with the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyway, this part of the hadith is explaining how dangerous it is for a person to commit suicide. The third part of this hadith, a person does not have to fulfill an oath for something which he does not own. A person does not have to fulfill an oath for something which he does not own. But he will still have to give kafara. For example, a person takes an oath. Now a person is staying in a rented house. He's renting that house. He takes an oath that if my child gets better, then I'm giving this house in sadaqah. I'm giving this house in charity. But now that house is not his to give it in charity. He's renting. It belongs to the landlord. So what this hadith means, that now a person won't have to give that house in charity because that's not his house in the first place to give. But he will still have to give the kafara for that oath that he has taken, that wrong oath that he has taken. Whatever the kafara is at that time, now he will have to give and discharge the kafara for that oath that he has taken. The last part of the hadith, cursing a believer is like killing him. Cursing a believer is like killing him. Here, this part of the hadith ties up with the chapter we read. How serious it is to curse somebody. You just think that just cursing a person, it means nothing. In fact, in one hadith, it comes, when a person curses something, first that curse goes up to the heavens. And then from the heavens, now the curse comes back down. When it comes back down, if that person that was cursed is deserving of it, then that curse will take effect on that person that is deserving. Maybe he was an oppressor, he did something wrong, he harms to such an extent that he's deserving of those curses, then that curse will take effect. If not, that curse now will come back to that person that had cursed. So serious it is to curse someone. So we should be, instead of taking it lightly and thinking that this is nothing by cursing, remember if that person that we are cursing is not deserving of it, the same curse will come back to us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.